But first, we turn to Iran. The relationship between the U.S. and Iran has been strained over the past couple of weeks. Yesterday, Iran violated a key provision of the 2015 deal meant to curb its nuclear program. The country now owns more nuclear fuel than is allowed by the international agreement. This comes after last month's escalation in the region, with the U.S. saying it had sent 1,000 more troops to the Middle East. A couple of days later, Iran shot down a U.S. surveillance drone. In response, President Trump ordered a retaliatory strike against Iran, but called it off at the last minute. And that's to say nothing about the escalating rhetoric between leaders in the two countries. Our co-host Mark Brody spoke more about this with Daniel Rothenberg, co-director of the Center for the Future of War at ASU.
I know that there are a number of incidents and comments and other types of things that have led us to where we are now between the U.S. and Iran. Is there one thing we can point to as to why it is that tensions have ramped up to the point that they're at this point?
I guess it's an interesting question whether tensions are really ramped up. Obviously, the history of U.S. tensions with Iran goes back to the 1979 revolution and many things that happened subsequently. Clearly, there's a moment right now with elevated tensions, but, you know, it's a little over a year ago when Trump pulled out of the JCPOA and
the Iran nuclear deal.
The Iran nuclear deal, as it's called. Yeah. And so there's a lot of heated rhetoric. There have been a few incidents that could be serious incidents, but it's difficult to really know how much more elevated tensions are right now.
So you don't think necessarily things are worse between the U.S. and Iran now than they were, say, 6 months or a year ago?
It's difficult to say, and I'm not sure that that's the most important metric, because all it takes to seriously ramp up tensions in extremely dangerous ways is a single incident or an escalation based on some sort of perception of an incident.
So do you consider, for example, the shooting down of a drone or the president of the U.S. saying that he would consider obliterating parts of Iran? Like, is that one of those things that would maybe really ramp things up?
You never know. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when a number of U.S. Navy sailors were taken hostage by Iranian forces. That was a serious incident, although it passed without any great substantive tension beyond a kind of steady degree of animosity and complexity in the relations. But those are two different incidents. So shooting down a drone is serious in some ways. What it really means is an open question. Obviously, the language of the president is very significant, and yet we've spent the last several years hearing extremely serious claims made by the president of the United States that end up turning into bluster or not much. Look, think of North Korea.
From the Iranian perspective, how do you get the sense that they perceive what's going on over here, be it the rhetoric from the president, rhetoric from other politicians, reaction to, for example, a drone being shot down?
Maybe the biggest problem, I think, with the way Iran is talked about here in the United States is as if it's a unitary entity in which all members of the government and all members of society are somehow in lockstep around a particular narrative and understanding of the United States or anything else. Iran, like lots, like everywhere, is a complex place. And politically, it's quite divided among a number of different players, not all of whom are interested in the same sort of relationship with the United States. The Iran nuclear deal was complex for players within Iran to convince other players within Iran to proceed. So there's a lot going on, and I think that we would all be better served if we took a step back and conceptualized Iran as a place as complex, as internally divided as, let's say, our own country or even anywhere else.
Does that potentially affect the kind of response we might see from Iran, be it from the supreme leader or from other members of the government or from the Revolutionary Guard or just from regular citizens there?
Sure. There are multiple players with different interests. Their interests are in some cases competing, in some cases unified. Probably the thing that would unify Iranians most of all would be something like something extremely aggressive, like an attack, as you might imagine. But the hope, I think, for most folks out there in the U.S., in Iran, and elsewhere, is that we don't get overly wrapped up in heated rhetoric, but that we focus on concrete actions and plans and try to tone things down. Surely the worst outcome for just about everybody would be war.
You've mentioned the Iran nuclear deal a couple of times, and I'm wondering how significant you think the fact that the U.S. pulled out of that, how has that affected, how significant has that been in terms of affecting relations between the U.S. and Iran since that time, and maybe even Iran and the other number of countries that had signed on to it?
I think the most complex thing about pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal is how it signals the inability to respect agreements and negotiations with the state, with the United States. So the standard position of U.S. governments as one president comes in, another president leaves, and administrations shift, is that things that have been agreed upon, especially internationally, are respected not because everyone thinks those were the best deals, but because if one breaks all of them, it signals to the world that this may happen the next time around, and then why would you bother to take the political risks that are inherent in making a deal? So pulling out of the JCPOA, out of the Iran nuclear deal, is a devastating action in terms of U.S. credibility on the world stage.
Do you think that it makes it less likely that Iran would be willing to come to some kind of agreement with the U.S. to solve some other kind of problem?
Probably, but it's difficult to say because it probably depends what the deal is and what the specifics are. You know, there might be, again, some benefit to stepping away from the ideologically driven rhetoric about who's good and who's bad and towards kind of concrete goals and concrete things that could actually be negotiated. There have been periods of time when Iran and the U.S. have coordinated their activities quite substantially, for example, in the early stages of the Afghan war, the invasion of Afghanistan and early stages in the Afghan reconstruction. There was lots of productive activity, partly because there was an overlap and coordination of certain goals. And, you know, there's no reason why that isn't the case now. It may not be the best moment for these sorts of negotiations. It may, frankly, not be possible for any negotiations to take place without some measures that would encourage and enable greater trust, which probably would be a useful strategy.
All right. That's Daniel Rothenberg, co-director of the Center on the Future of War at ASU. Daniel, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.